Out of all the Gospels, who is our example? In the Gospels, you have disciples, you have the followers of Jesus, you have sick people, you have the religious people, the Pharisees, and you have Jesus. Who's our example? Jesus. Not the disciples. They're not. They made a lot of mistakes. It wasn't until the last two chapters of each gospel that they got the Holy Ghost inside of them. So they're not our examples. Jesus is the only one in the gospel that had the Holy Spirit indwelling him. We do also. Jesus is our example. How did Jesus do it? How did Jesus do ministry? You look at him. When you check the accounts. How many people had demons that Jesus put out? A lot of them. The majority. It says that all that came to him in need of healing or deliverance, he healed them all. He cast demons out of all of them. Everyone that came to Jesus, he healed. To why? To let us know what the will of the Father is. Jesus is the will of the Father. You read it in Hebrews chapter 1. It says, Jesus is the express image. He's the exact likeness of God the Father. If you see it in Jesus, you're seeing the Father. What's the will of the Father? Jesus Christ is the will of the Father. That's why Jesus healed everyone that came to him. That's why Jesus set free everyone that came to him, so that we can know it is the will of the Father to heal all and set all free all the time. Do we see it all the time? No. But it's still his will. Jesus came to demonstrate the will of the Father. Amen? Okay, so how did Jesus do it? How did Jesus cast out demons? How did he do it? Jesus said, my words, they are spirit and they are life. My words, they are spirit and they are life. I want to tell you, in the spiritual, you know that in this place right now, there are demons here. Do you know that?
Mm-hmm.
In this place right now, there are angels here. Can you see them?
No.
Does that mean they're not here because you can't see them? No.
Yeah.
In this place right now, there are radio waves. There's TV signals going right through this building right now. You say, but I can't see them. How do I know they're here? You get a receiver. You get a television set. You get a radio. You turn it on. It picks up the signals that are going through this room. You can't see them with your eyes. You can't hear them with your ears. You need a receiver. Our receiver is our spirit. Our spirit receives things that cannot be seen in the natural. Our spirit is in touch with the Holy Spirit, and he reveals to our spirit, because we've been made one, the reality of the supernatural realm, the reality of what's going on around us. And the more we walk with him, the more we go and pray for people, the more the Holy Spirit tunes our tuner. He tunes us in to what's happening. It just happens. It just happens. We look at the life of Jesus. Now, how did Jesus put demons out? You were talking earlier about being forceful. Okay, you can be forceful, but you don't have to scream. You can be forceful. Okay, I'm forceful. I'll say, devil, in the name of Jesus, get out. My words, they are spirit and they are life. Why? Because I am convinced the Holy Ghost is one with me inside of me. And as I speak, he speaks. Now, in the spiritual realm, demons can see if we are in faith or not. If we are in faith, they can see faith coming like a light beam off of us. They know if we are in faith, and they know if we are in fear. Why do most ministers yell and scream at demons? It's because they are afraid of the demons. It's true. They've told me that. Well, I don't know what they're going to do. You know, I need to be careful. I don't know. You know, they're dangerous. Demons are under our feet. Demons have been defeated by Jesus. Totally defeated by the one who is living within us. We, our faith can be seen or not seen in the spiritual realm. And if we are not in faith, they're not going nowhere. The demons are not going nowhere. When I was a young believer, I believed what was happening in the Gospels, and I asked the church leaders in the church that I was in, when do we get to do this stuff? When do we get to cast demons out? When do we get to pray and see miracles? And they said, that doesn't happen anymore. I said, okay. So I went out and started finding people to pray for by myself. Nobody ever taught me anything. I didn't know nothing. So I'm out praying for people. People say, can you come over to my house and pray for me? I go over, and demons are manifesting. I didn't know what to do. So because I was a little bit afraid, I started yelling. And I never had a demon leave when I was yelling. It got worse. I watched a lady's head turn right around. I watched people get picked up in the air, fly through the air, on the ground by a demon. I've watched that happen with under the power of the Holy Ghost too. I've watched all kinds of demonic activity, and I didn't have any idea what to do. I would spend entire nights arguing with demons to come out of people. And I spent entire nights talking to demons. Well, how did you get there? And they'll say, I came through her father. Her father sinned and did this, and I came in the family line, and I'm in her now, and I'm not going. The demon's telling me, I'm not going. I say, you have to go. I'm not going. But you have to go. I'm not going. The demons are talking to me. Now, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to speak to demons. I didn't know that. I don't talk to demons now. They lie. No demon is going to tell you the truth. They're all liars. Okay? That's all they know how to do is lie. Steal, kill, and destroy, and lie. That's what demons do. You don't carry on conversations with them. You just command them to go. But I didn't know that then. So I had all these encounters with demons and what they do with somebody who's not in faith, and how they don't have to move and they just make a big mess. And it wasn't until the Holy Spirit began to teach me the authority that is in the name of Jesus. And all I need to do is declare it. When I believed that in my heart, I started seeing them go. I started to see them go. There was no more wrestling. No more wrestling, no more fighting, no more long sessions of going through all kinds of things to try to get these demons out of people. It was like happening right now. In Luke chapter, let's turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, we're going to read 17, 18, and 19, okay? Then the 70 returned to joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject or submit to us in your name. The demons submit to us in your name. Well, why didn't it say the demons submit to us when we pour oil all over their head? Why does it say the demons submit to us when we put the word on their head, the Bible on their head? Anybody do that here? You don't do that here? Some places they do that. They put the Bible on their head. Come out! Get out! Some places they take oil, anointing oil, and they just pour it over the people. And because the oil's pouring over the people, they say, all right, now get out! Get out! Shh! Get out! Sometimes they get a cross, and they hold the cross up. Out. Get out. Get out. There's all these crazy traditions all over the world.
Amen.
And they actually believe that these things work. I say, well, how successful are you? They say, what do you mean? I said, how many people get free? Well, not very many. It's because it's not God's way. God's way, listen, he says, the demons submit to us in your name. All deliverance, all healing, all liberation, it's all in the name of Jesus. That's it. It's in the name of Jesus. He says, and he said to them, Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Listen, right here, Jesus delegated his authority to them. We do not have delegated authority now. Now, because you're born again and he's living within you, we have inherited his authority. Big difference between delegated. Here, I give you my authority to go out and do some work, okay? When you're done with the work, you don't have my authority anymore. I give you the authority for that purpose, to go do that. It's not that way now. Now, it's you have full-time, 24/7, inherited the authority of Jesus Christ. It's like when my wife married me, when we got married. Before we were married, she could not take my checkbook and sign my name. That would be stealing. Right? Once we got married, she could take my checkbook and sign my name, because my name became hers. Which means now she can write a check out of my bank account for anything she wants, because we have the same name. You have been given the same name. Jesus gave you his name. You inherited his name. All demons submit in the name that you have inherited, in the name of Jesus Christ. You can just speak a word and they will have to go, because you have inherited the authority of his name. That's awesome. That's awesome. We went the first trip that I made to South America. I was early years in the mission field. We went down there and we met a pastor for the first time. We never saw him before. And he said, well, maybe I'll let you have the Saturday night or the Sunday night service, but not Sunday morning. I don't really know you guys, okay? So maybe I'll let you minister in the Sunday night service. We said, okay. So the more he talked to us and we told him about, we shared our heart with him, he says, I think I want you to minister Sunday morning. I said, okay, whatever you want, Pastor. So Sunday morning, the church is packed. It's about half again bigger than this, and it's packed with people. Big platform up here, platform way up high, okay? And there was four elders and the pastor. People came forward for to receive prayer. And there was maybe 30 people in the front that came for prayer. And he had not yet turned the service over to us. Now, I understand that in a spiritual realm, authority matters. Okay? We don't bypass authority. Until the church leader turns the service over to us, we don't do anything. It's not in our hands. We do not go against the authority that's in place. It's just, until you turn the service over to us, old Reverend Ketter, he turns it over to us, we don't do anything. There could be people manifesting all over, we're not moving. When the service is turned over to us, we'll engage, it will go. So the service had not been turned over to us yet, and there's three of us on the team, and we're sitting up there, and the prayer starts, and a lady starts to manifest. And she's manifesting like... just like that. Okay, so here's what happens. The pastor gets up. And he goes and he looks and he runs. Now the platform is way up high. He runs and he dives off. And he jumps on top of the lady and starts wrestling her. Yelling, screaming, devils, come out! Devils, come out! Screaming at the top of his lungs. Now, we had never seen this before. We're just sitting up here like, is this really happening? Here's what we saw happen. Now, how many of you know we don't fight demons with flesh and blood? We don't fight demons with, the scripture says, carnal weapons. Physical weapons. You cannot fight a demon with your fists. You're going to get beat up. Okay? So here's this pastor, and he's trying to wrestle this woman. She's much smaller than him. He's wrestling her. Well, we watched her and she went he's down on the ground. He starts to bleed. He's starting to bleed. She's just creaming him. The elders get up, all four elders, and they all run. And they jump on top. Now we got four elders and one pastor wrestling, fighting one little woman that's got demons. Now this is the first time I had ever seen anything like this. But here's what happened. This little woman, she had five men, strong men. She goes, oh my gosh. All five guys. Wow. Pastor's down on the floor. And he's looking up at me and he's going, come. Okay. He gave us permission to engage. So we went down, and one of the members of our team got down on the floor, put his arm around the woman, put his mouth in her ear, and he quietly said, I command you demons, in the name of Jesus Christ, submit. Right now, I command you to silence and inactivity right now, in the name of Jesus. He said that three or four times, and all of a sudden she went, no wrestling, no boxing, no fighting, the authority of the name of Jesus. Somebody who knew the authority that was in that name, and the demons knew that this man knew that. It stopped. We went back. We had a whole teaching, a week of teaching there. We went back 7 years later. And this woman came up to me and she said, do you remember me? Mm-hmm. I said, I'm sorry, I don't remember you. She said, I was the lady who manifested in that church you first came to. She said, I want you to know, I got saved while you were there. I received the Lord Jesus Christ while you were there that week. And I began to see how simple the gospel was. And I began to realize there's no one anywhere here that does deliverance so simply and so powerfully. I'm going to start a church. She said, I started a church. It's called Grace Deliverance Church. She said, please come to my church while you're here. She said, I want you to know that it's because of the gentleness, but yet so powerful way in which you pulled me out of that and you got me set free. Those men didn't know what they were doing. They were trying to wrestle against. They did not understand. She said, but I saw the power come in such a loving way to me that I knew I have to do this the rest of my life. She said, no, we went to her church, lots of people, setting people free left and right. No screaming, no yelling, no wrestling, just the truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and knowing this truth will set you free. Amen. And she teaches people to know who they are in Jesus Christ so they can just stay free. See, once we know who we are, we know the devil can't attach himself to us. It's illegal, and we're done. We're free. That was amazing to me that I saw that. This scripture says that in the name of Jesus, they submit. There's no other biblical way. There's lots of tradition that's out there. Maybe you have some different traditions here of things that you do. In America, very popular right now, is to have deliverance sessions where the people come in and they fill out a questionnaire. They write down all their history, and the people go back and investigate to find out what spirits got into their family line to tell them, oh, these are the spirits you've got to get out of your life. Listen, that's all garbage. It's all garbage. You know why those things were started? They were started by people who were powerless to set the captives free. And because they desired to help people, they had to come up with something. So they come up with programs. They come up using worldly psychology to analyze the person's history. No! No, that's not God's way. You do not see Jesus doing it that way. Jesus just simply spoke words that were powerful enough to cause demons to simply leave people. And all these programs have been started by powerless people because they didn't understand the simplicity of the gospel. And I'm telling you, what Jesus did is all we need to do. He said, you can do the same thing as I'm doing, only believe. Only believe. In Matthew chapter 28, let's stay there in Luke for a second, okay? Jesus said, I give you power over all. I give you authority over all the power, which is the ability of the enemy. You realize that the devil has been stripped of all authority. When Jesus went down into hell and he took back the keys to death, hell, and the grave, he took away, Satan got the authority from Adam. When Adam was on earth, God gave him authority to rule and have dominion over the earth. Because he sinned, he had to give that authority over to Satan. Satan had authority, but Jesus came and took it back. So Satan has zero authority, but Satan has ability. Does a robber who comes to your house to rob, does he have authority to come into your house? Does he? No! A robber does not have authority to go in your house, but does he have ability? Yes! He has ability to break down the door, but he has no authority. Right?
Yes.
So demons have ability but no authority. And we say many times, oh yeah, you know, I gave the devil authority in my life. You cannot. I'll tell you why you cannot. Because Jesus said, all authority in heaven and in earth has been given to me. Amen. Jesus said that. Mm-hmm. It's all authority in heaven and in earth. All of it, 100%, has been given to Jesus. That means the devil has none. That means you have none. All authority in heaven and in earth was given to Jesus. So what does that mean? That means Jesus is the only one with authority. But now, when you got born again, you inherited his name. You inherit his authority. You inherit the right to use his authority. So you cannot give your authority to the devil. You don't have any to give. It can only come from the one who has authority. And Jesus is all Jesus' authority. Now, is Jesus going to give the devil authority to destroy your life? Is Jesus going to do that?
No.
You see, that's religious tradition. That's a lie. You cannot give authority to Jesus. You don't have your own authority. You have the authority of Jesus' name. And he will never give permission to the devil to hurt you in any way. He will not. That's pretty awesome. So it says here, okay, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You know what that, I did a study on that word nothing. You know what nothing means? You know what the word nothing means? What does it mean?
It means zero.
Zero.
Zero, I like that. It means zero, it means nothing. There's zero things that can hurt you. Now, do we believe that? Why do we get afraid if we believe that? Jesus, I didn't say this, Jesus said it. He said, nothing by any means. There's no means in all of creation of anything that can hurt you. Jesus said that. Right? So why do we get fearful? Why do we get afraid? Jesus said, nothing can hurt you. Nothing. There is no thing that can hurt you. Whoa. So what happens? I'm in Uganda. We're out in the bush doing ministry in the bush, and we're coming back about a 3-hour drive to the place where we were staying. It was raining, the roads were muddy, we got stuck in the mud, we had to get out and push the vehicle. We got out, pushed the vehicle, and I cut myself. I got a cut right there. I didn't think anything of it, took a little dirty water and wiped it off. Got back in the vehicle. We got to where we were going, and I noticed that right there, see that vein right there? I noticed that an infection was going right up my arm. Now, my wife was in the medical field, and she told me once, people can get cuts, they get infected, and it goes up the vein, and when the infection gets to the heart, they die. So the devil reminded me of those words. The devil said, remember what your wife said? When that infection gets up to your heart, you're going to die. You're in the bush. There's no hospitals. You're going to die in Uganda. He's telling me this. You're going to die in Uganda. You're done with the ministry. You're finished. He's telling me this. Okay, now, Jesus said, you can speak to the mountain, and if you do not doubt. The question arises, when does doubt begin? You have to, first comes a temptation to doubt. The temptation to doubt was when the devil was putting thoughts into my head. Oh, okay, there's no hospitals. You're going to die. You might as well just give up now. You're done. Okay, look at that. Watch it. Watch it. It's going right up your arm. Watch it. And I'm watching it go. I'm watching it go right up. He says, look at that. You're done. There's the temptation. Those thoughts coming from the devil is the temptation. That's not doubt yet. Doubt begins when I agree with the temptation. Here's what I said. I said, devil, I know I'm in the bush, but I'm not here alone. The Lord Jesus Christ is here with me, and he's the healer, and you've already been defeated, and you can lie all you want, but this thing is not going to harm me. You want? Let me read this to you. I got the Bible open to this passage. I said, and devil, by the way, and nothing by any means will harm me. You hear that? Let me read it to you again, devil. And nothing by any means will harm me. You see that going on my arm? It's not going to harm me.
Amen.
The temptation came, but I did not doubt. I did not receive the temptation. So here you are. You're on your way to minister to somebody, okay? You see somebody that needs help. And while you're on the way, the devil comes with thoughts that say, who do you think you are? Okay, you think you got power to help this person? Look at them. They're crippled. What are you going to do? You can't help them. Okay, that's not doubt. That's a temptation to doubt. You stop right there. You speak to that temptation. And you tell it, it's not about me, devil. It's about who's living within me. And Jesus has already paid the price for that one to be whole. And I'm bringing Jesus there. Ha! So take it up with Jesus. Bring your doubts to Jesus, because he's not going to receive them either. I'm going. The devil loses again. If you don't doubt, listen, if you're going to minister, if you're going to be ministers of life, the devil is going to come with temptation to doubt again and again and again. And every time you begin going to minister, he's going to come with some kind of temptation to get you to buy that temptation to stop. So what's the doubt? The doubt is when I stop going. When I listen to those lies and I stop going. I stop praying. I stop ministering. I'm not doing it. How about you? And nothing by any means can harm you. Nothing. I woke up one morning in Uganda. I woke up and there was a little mirror on the wall. A little mirror. I happened to go look in the mirror and my face was covered with bites. So I don't know what it was. Something, some biting creatures were in the room all over my face. Bites everywhere, swelling up all over my face. It was like 3:00 in the morning. I woke up, I looked in the mirror, and I saw that. Here comes the temptation, okay? Here comes the thoughts. You see that? You got some rare disease and ain't nobody gonna help you, you're gonna die in Uganda. I have to do something with that temptation. Okay, Psalm 118 says, I will live and not die, and I will declare the works of the Lord. And I quoted that scripture to the devil. I said, devil, Psalm 118, you know it, read it. I will live and not die, and I will declare the works of the Lord. And then Luke, Jesus said, and nothing by any means will harm you. Nothing. If you don't have that underlined in your Bible, you need to underline it. You need to highlight it. And nothing by any means shall harm you. You understand what Jesus is saying? There's nothing in this entire lifetime, no matter what happens to you, that can harm you. You can be in an airplane, and the airplane is going down and going to crash, and you declare, nothing by any means shall harm me. And you may be the only survivor. And nothing by any means will harm you. Psalm 93 says, you may watch 1,000 fall at your right hand, 10,000 all around you, but it will not come to you. Only believe. Only believe. Jesus is victorious. He has all authority. There is no demon that can do anything to you unless you believe that demon can do something to you. If you believe demons can hurt you, then they will hurt you. If you believe they are powerless, then they will be powerless. It's as you believe. Jesus has given us his words that are very clear. He says in Matthew 28, he's getting ready to go back up to heaven. He's getting ready to go back up. He says, all authority has been given to me in earth and on earth, in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. How can we do that? Because he's not only with us, he's in us. He's in us. Amazing. Just amazing. I look at the methods that people use around the world. And a lot of it's crazy. It's crazy. We've watched them take, there was a prostitute that came into a church service. She came off the street. She was a prostitute. They took this woman, brought her in a back room. Praise God they brought her in the back room. And they took anointing oil and poured it all through her private parts. Screaming and yelling at demons when they did that. She broke loose. She ran out into the church and ran out of the building before we could get to help her. They scared her. They scared her. Is that the way we treat? Is the church that powerless that we have to do that kind of thing to people? No. I'll tell you. The main thing that we do in any kind of deliverance is show this person love. We don't want there to be a public display. One thing I've noticed wherever we are, when someone starts manifesting, everyone in the church turns and they're not going to see anything else that's going on. All the eyes go right to the manifestation. Have you seen that before? Somebody starts manifesting. You can't carry on the church service because everybody's just staring at that person that's manifesting, right? So you remove them to another place and you begin ministering love to them. Okay? We want them to get born again. We want them to see who they are in Christ, to know that they have this all authority, and we'll remove the demons, but let them know that they can continue to do that. That they don't have to submit to demons. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so I noticed when we were driving through town that there's a lot of traffic in the city. And there was a policeman there. And the policeman was directing traffic. I'm going to demonstrate for you the way I see people doing deliverance a lot of times, okay? There's a policeman in the street, and he's going to, cars are coming that he wants to stop. Now, what if he did this? What if you were there and you watch this policeman do this? He wants to stop cars that are coming, and you see him do this. Stop! 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 Everybody stop! What would you think? You would think that policeman does not know the authority that he has. He's got a badge. All he has to do, because he's the man of authority, all he has to do is this.
Amen.
It's just that way in the spirit. We don't have to act like somebody who's insane. We have the authority in the name of Jesus, and we can just tell them, get out of the house. Stop this activity right now. You say, it cannot be that easy. If you believe it cannot be that easy, then it won't be that easy. If you believe it is just simply that easy, it will be just that easy. It's true. For many years, I struggled. I was a lot of work for me to try to get people free, many hours, because I didn't know that I had that authority of Jesus' name to use. You do. You do have that. And that's an awesome, awesome, awesome privilege. Look at Titus. Turn to Titus. Do you know where that is? Okay. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon. Or is it Philemon? Philemon? You say Philemon? Philemon? Philbert? Okay, Titus, three chapters. I want to look at the third chapter, the ninth verse, okay? Titus chapter 3, verse 9. But avoid foolish disputes, avoid genealogies, avoid contentions, strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. I want to talk to you about just one thing here, genealogies. Okay, what's genealogies? Why does Scripture say avoid genealogies? What a genealogy is like I used to say, okay, well, I'm an alcoholic because my father was an alcoholic and my grandfather was an alcoholic. I just inherited being an alcoholic. Okay, it's in my genes. I used to believe that because in my family tree, there's alcoholics, that means I'm an alcoholic and I'm going to have to be an alcoholic. Genealogies. Scripture says that that's useless and foolish. When you become born again, you get a new family line. Your family line is no longer earthly. Your family line now switches over to the line of Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Your generation goes back one generation to Jesus. Your family roots are now Jesus. Your family roots are no longer your natural family. When you become born again, you now have a new family tree. It's the line of Jesus. And there are no problems in the line of Jesus. There's no sin in the line of Jesus. There's no demonic activity in the line of Jesus. That whenever somebody says, oh, you do that because your grandfather did that. Oh, your grandmother and your great-grandmother, they died at an early age because of cancer. That means you're going to die at an early age because of cancer. No! You have a new family tree, a new family genealogy, and it's Jesus. And there's no sickness in that line. There's no alcoholism in that line. There's no addiction in that line. There's no depression in that line.
Yes.
There's no lack in that line. There's no poverty in that line. There's no demonic oppression in that line. It's not there. That's your new genealogy.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
To anybody here, and you were thinking that you have a situation in your life because someone in your family had that, and it came down the generational line. That's not true. That's a lie out of the pit.
Amen.
Your generational line now is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's it. That's it. You need to end that thing. If for any of you, you think that maybe you're not successful because no one in your family has been successful, that's all a lie. It's a lie. Glory to God. You have become a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Whatever has been given to Jesus has been given to you. Whatever Jesus has, you have. Isn't that awesome? That's the truth. That's the truth. Let me turn here. Ooh, paper sticking together. Your papers stick like that? My papers, pages apart. Oh my. All right. I want to go to James. Okay, let's turn to James. The last chapter in James, okay? The last chapter. You know, the way the epistles are written, normally it's the you get the doctrinal part, God's explaining things spiritually, and then each epistle ends with the practical part, okay? It says in James chapter 5, verse 15, and the prayer of faith will save. Does your Bible say save or does it say heal? James 5:15, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick. That's the same word, that's the sozo word for salvation. Okay, it also means healing. And the prayer of faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Oh. Not every sickness is caused by sin. Not every sickness is caused by sin. He says, and if he has sinned. Do you know that James was written for new believers? If you get a new convert in the church, you want to have him read James. It's very practical. It's instructions. Why does he say here, okay, if you're sick, go to the elders of the church? Why doesn't he say, pray for yourself? They don't know that yet. They don't know about the authority in the name of Jesus. They're a brand new believer. He's writing to new believers. So he says, you're just saved. You got sick. Go to the elders. Their prayer of faith will get you healed. And then they can begin teaching you about what you can do. Okay? But when someone's first saved, they don't know that. That's what the book of James is written for brand new converts, new people coming into the kingdom. So it tells them, if you're sick, go to the elders. The elders know how to pray. They'll pray the prayer of faith. They'll get you healed. And then they can teach you about how you can do it. Okay? But here, there is this whole teaching that's out there that everything that happens, all sickness that comes into your life, there's some spirit behind it. There's a spirit behind all sickness. But it says here, if you have sinned. So not all sicknesses have a spirit behind it. You need to know, if somebody starts telling you that, okay, sit down, we're going to talk. I want to find out what spirits are behind this sickness. Okay, tell them, thank you very much, I got to go. You don't need that. That's just another doctrine that's been made up by powerless people who don't know the authority in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Because that's all you need. It's just that simple. In the name of Jesus, demons will submit. In the name of Jesus, sickness will go. That's all you need to know. It's that simple. Only believe. Only believe. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Is there something you think I should tell them on the... What? Okay. Okay. All right. I know that there's a lot of uncertainty in when it comes to demons, okay? But the only thing you need to understand is they are under your feet. You are seated with Jesus Christ, and you have the name of Jesus Christ above them, and they have to respond if you believe. Amen? And you know, we be gentle with people. The way that we help people get delivered now, I mean, there's no yelling. We put our arm around them, we love them, we tell them, okay, we're just going to get this thing off of you, and then we're going to tell you how you can stay free. We tell them how they can stay free, because if they're born again, they can use the name of Jesus also, and they can get themselves free. Here's the thing. It says in Ephesians chapter 4 that we need to be renewed. I think it's 4:24. We need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Now Romans chapter 12 says that we need, chapter 12 verse 1 and 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay? So our mind needs to be renewed. But then in Ephesians it says we need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. What does that mean? That means our attitude about life. Our view, our concept of life as a Christian, what is it? Do we think that bad things come from God? Or do we think that nothing bad comes from God? What do we think? Do we think that God does things to people to hurt them?
No.
See, if our concept is that God will do something to punish us or to hurt us in some way, then we have a wrong, our mind, the spirit of our mind is needs to be renewed. When you look at problems, when you get problems and you look at them, how do you view them? Many years ago, I went into work and I was told that we have no money. That the bookkeeper that I had working for me had taken all of our money and left. Had stolen everything we had and left. A very lot of money. I got that word. And we were in a recession in the United States, and things were not good. And that's the word that I got. Now, did God do that? Did God do that?
No.
God, understand this. God, good. Devil, bad.
Bad.
Devil, bad. God, good. If it's good that's happening in your life, it's God. If it's bad that's happening in your life, it's devil. We need to have that mindset. We don't ever want to think that God is doing something bad. Jesus took all the wrath of God. Jesus took all the punishment that we deserve. He took it all upon himself so that we don't ever have to. Now we can bask in the loving care of a Heavenly Father, who loves us unconditionally, who unconditionally wants to lavish us with the riches of heaven and the riches of being his son. That's where we are right now. So when something comes into your life, it's bad. It's not God, it's the devil. You have to have that mindset, okay? So when I got that bad news, what did I do? I called up everyone that I knew that was a believer, and I said, can you come to my house? I want to have a praise party. Oh, sure, Tony. We'll come over. We'll have a praise party? Yeah, okay. We'll come. So it was about 20, 25 people that came to my house. And they said, what are we praising God for? I said, well, I just found out today that I have had everything we own stolen. Everything. Yeah. And I now owe almost $750,000 that I have nothing. And I owe all this money because it was all stolen. And I have no work and nothing to pay it with. They said, do you want to praise God? I said, exactly. You know why I want to praise God? Because I know he already sees the other side. I know he already sees the answer. He already sees the deliverance. He's already set me free. He's already declared the answer. So I'm going to praise him for the answer. I'm going to praise him for the deliverance. I'm going to praise him for the victory. I'm not going to talk the problem. I'm not going to give the devil 1 ounce of ground. I'm not going to confess one negative thing. Out of my mouth is going to come the truth that Jesus is my deliverer. Hallelujah. That Jesus saw this before I was ever born. He saw this crisis coming, and he already planned the answer. He planned the day. Oh, but for the joy set before me, I'm enduring this cross. Hallelujah. Oh, but for the joy set before me, I'm going to believe God. So I said, I want you to praise God with me, because I believe I'm standing right on the edge of a miracle. I've never seen a miracle like this before. I believe I'm standing right on the edge of it. And I want you to join me in praising God for being a God who brings answers where no man could ever bring answers. That he's the God of the impossible. And I look in the natural, and this is impossible. But I don't live in the natural. I live in the kingdom of heaven. And in the kingdom of heaven, there's no lack. And the people are all looking at me like,
Amen.
I said, let's praise him. And we praised him. And there's a scripture in Romans. I was going to give you that scripture. Romans 13. Let me show you. Let me find it. Because I was going to give that to Reverend Ketter. Romans, I think it's chapter 13. You ready? There it is. Romans 13:8. Owe no one anything except the debt to love him. Romans 13:8 says, don't owe anybody anything except the debt to love them. And here I am in debt, huge amount of money. I could work the rest of my lifetime and never begin to pay this off in the natural. And I would get out of bed in the morning and I would say, thank you, Jesus. I will owe no man nothing except the debt to love him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you're working that to happen today and tomorrow. Thank you, Jesus. I will owe no man nothing except the debt to love him. The only debt I'm ever going to have is going to be to love you. To love you. That's the only debt I'm ever going to have, is to love you and to love you. Romans 13:8. The only debt I will ever have. And I'm speaking this when I'm in the midst of the biggest debt I've ever heard anybody have. In the biggest mess. I didn't never knew anybody that was in a mess like this. And I'm speaking this believing this is the word of God. In his word. And his word will be found true. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you what happened. Every day, I refuse to let anything come out of my mouth that would give glory to the devil and what he's done. I refuse to say, I don't know how we're going to make it out of this. This is a real mess. I don't know. I refused anything like that. Mm-hmm. I would not say it. I would not say it, give any glory to the devil. But every day, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your deliverance, Jesus. Thank you for bringing me to the place. I will owe no man nothing except the debt to love. I'm going to love you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to love you. That's the only debt I will have. Hallelujah. Now watch this. I'll show you what happened. This is so amazing. I go into work. It was a time in a recession. We have very, very little work. I go into work. People start coming in. A man comes in. He says, remember when you did my work three years ago? I didn't pay you everything I owed you. I shorted you $2,000. Here's the $2,000. Somebody else comes in the next day. Remember when you did the work for me? Well, you know, I felt bad, but I didn't give you everything. Here's the rest of what I owe you. And then next day, somebody else comes in. Remember when you loaned me $3,000 a long time ago when I was hurting and I had to have a vehicle and you gave me the money? You said, don't worry about it. I took that money. I never paid you back. Here's the $3,000. One after another, after another, after another, after another. Now, watch this. Also, the bank account. We get the bank statement. It was zero. We get the bank statement, and I'm looking at it like, where did this, I asked my wife, where did this money come from? Did you make a deposit I don't know about? She said, I didn't make any deposits. We didn't have any money to make a deposit. And there's thousands of dollars in the bank account. And I said to the bank, I said, I think you made a mistake. I think that, you know, this is not, shouldn't be in our account. We don't know where it came from. They checked and they said, yep, it was deposited in there. I said, can you tell me who deposited it? They said, no, it was deposited anonymous. What? People putting money, but it wasn't people, it was God. You think God won't do that? Now watch this. It was 1 year. I'm talking 300,000 American dollars, and I had very little tiny bit of work. In 1 year, it was all paid off. We owed no man nothing. Now here's the best part of it for me. Here's the best part of it. When I found out about this, I called all the people in that I owed money to. All the suppliers, all the subcontractors. I called them in one at a time. I said, sit down. I have something to tell you. They said, yes. I said, we have been robbed, and we have no money. And I want you to know that my wife and I, we're going to work very hard as we can, to pay you back. But we just want you to know that we have nothing to give you right now. And they said, okay. I called them back in the end, when I had all the money. I said, here's the rest of what we owe you. And they all told me the same thing. Here's what they told me. They said, Tony, we have been working with you for many, many years. You've been an honest man. And we figured, we let people steal from us who are not honest. You're honest. And we figured we would just write this off. And now you're paying us. That's amazing. How did it happen? I said, you know, I didn't tell you that Jesus Christ was my Lord and my Savior when I was in debt. Because you would think, is that what your Lord and Savior does for you? He gets you in debt like this? So bad? I didn't say anything to you. But now I'm telling you, this happened because of Jesus Christ. This happened because Jesus is the Lord of Lords. He's my King and my Lord. And Jesus did the impossible. Jesus did the miraculous every day after day in my life. And He's the one that did this. And I had all of those people sitting in my office say, can I receive this Jesus? Could you tell me how I can be saved? And I had the privilege of leading these men and women to Jesus Christ. One after another, after another, after another. Because I would not give in to what the devil does. But stand firm on the truth of the Word of God. I don't know why I told you that story. But I think every one of you got stuff going on in your life.
Yes.
That was good for you. Because every one of you need to stand on the truth. Stand on Jesus, your deliverer, your healer, your provider. Stand firm on Him and deny giving any credit to the devil for the wrong he does. Remember, God good, devil bad. God good, devil bad. God good, devil bad. It'll always be that way. If there's bad coming in your life, it's a devil. Resist him. Submit to God, James said, and resist the devil. If there's good coming in your life, hallelujah.
Amen.
I tell you, the bad comes, you submit to God, you resist the devil, and then lift your hands and say, hallelujah, Jesus. I'm in place for a miracle. Amen.
Amen.
This is the kingdom of heaven. This is the reality of the kingdom of heaven. We need to stop looking at things in the natural. Stop looking at our situations as though the only way we can handle this is natural means. No! We have a supernatural God who supernaturally provides for us. Give Him opportunity. Just believe. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.